Hey, everybody. Another special episode. We have an awesome guest, Colin Quinn. Make sure you check him out this weekend at Helium in Philadelphia, Helium Comedy Club, tonight, January 15th. One show tomorrow, January 16th, two shows, and then Saturday, January 17th, two shows. I believe the Saturday shows are sold out. The phenomenal Tommy Pope is going to be featuring for him. And then me and Shelton actually had this odd situation where we couldn't get together again, so we decided to do everything over phone. So bear with us. We're going to talk about all the NFL changes and all the craziness that's kind of happened since our last episode, which has been about a month now. So other than that, just enjoy the show. It's episode 74, I want to say, and we appreciate all the support since we've been gone. We've still got a ton of downloads, and we're really proud of that. Expect plenty of big things from us this year, but we're still kind of working out some kinks. Besides that, enjoy Colin Quinn because he's the best, and that's his little grunt you just heard at the beginning.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What a rookie I am. You're listing things, I just interrupt.
You know, from The Man Show and Loveline, the godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from the Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that, what an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
Like, I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
And we are back. Comedy Food Sports, episode 74. What's that, Joe Staley? Anyway, I'm going to make this first part nice and short and sweet because we have Colin Quinn calling in, and I'm going to hand it over to him. He's going to be funny and be himself and all that good stuff. He's at Helium all weekend here in Philly. It's January 15th, 16th, 17th. One show on the 15th, two on the 16th, two on the 17th. I believe all the 17th shows are sold out. But the Friday shows and tonight, Thursday shows are still good to go. And then when we come back from the interview, we'll have Shelton and myself kind of talking over the phone. We got a bunch of subjects we're going to talk about, a few other items, all that good stuff. We got some pretty decent plans for this year, but we're in the process of trying to get a better schedule together and figure out all our stuff. So again, we appreciate all the support so far. Expect to hear some good Cardarrelle Jones stories, Rex Ryan, all that good stuff after Colin Quinn. But Colin's coming up next. For all you people just tuning in for only Colin, you're welcome. We front-loaded it for you. So,
I'm going back to Brooklyn. 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 I'm going back to Brooklyn.
I don't think so.
I'm going back to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. I'm going back to Brooklyn.
Man, I don't think so. I'm going back to Brooklyn. Prying, denying, shying, blow drying, trying to fit in. Going back home. Coming back a hero where the girls look like Madonna and the guys sound like De Niro. The top is down on that guy's T-Bird and he's listening to the latest disco. Gold earring, big chains, t-shirt, and his hair held down with Crisco. Now his girlfriend's cute, but I can't look over, cause it might start an ugly rumor. If he hears loose talk round my body, they'll grow short. He's like Andrew Dice Clay, without a sense of humor.
I'm going back to Brooklyn, Brooklyn, Brooklyn. I'm going back to Brooklyn.
I don't think so. I'm going back to Brooklyn.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. Very, very special guest. I'm extremely excited about this guest. You know, first and foremost, he's a great, great stand-up comedian, but you probably know him from Remote Control and, you know, a very, quote-unquote, underrated SNL news person. And then later on, of course, Tough Crowd was a phenomenal show that to this day I wish was still on. And he's here at Helium all weekend. One show tonight, Thursday, January 15th, and then two shows tomorrow on the 16th, and two shows on Saturday, which I think they're actually sold out. But either way, I want to introduce one of my favorite people in comedy, Colin Quinn. How are you, man?
Thanks. How's it going?
Good, good. So I'd love to kind of get the backstory of how, you know, in the 80s, you're in Brooklyn. How do you hit the point where you decide to start doing stand-up comedy?
Well, I just, like, I was bartending. I quit drinking, so I had nothing to do at night. You know, my old social life was now tattered. So I was like, I'd always wanted to be a stand-up, but I just didn't have the nerve. Now I was like, what do I care? I got nothing to lose now, you know? So I just jumped into it, and I was lucky. I was lucky, you know, that I was there during the time when it started to boom, you know? I was really lucky. The early years was just stand-up, just started to boom in the early 80s, mid-80s.
Oh, yeah.
So it was me, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, like all these people working at these open mics for free, you know? Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing for sure. And then, obviously, you got eventually got under remote control. How did that kind of come about? Was that just an audition?
Yeah, I think it was just my voice. They liked my voice. They thought it was funny. I thought it was my talent. They thought it was funny to have an announcer with such a messed up voice, you know?
Yeah. Now, did you know Ken Ober before that, or is that where you guys met?
Yeah, but not well. Not well before that.
Okay.
We got close when we did the show, you know?
Right, exactly. Cool, and is it, and I just randomly glanced at your Wikipedia just to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Were you on the Cosby Show for 13 episodes, is that right? Or?
Yes, I was on for one. I played like a crazy, like Gallagher-type comic.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Right. But he never gave me a cappuccino, if that's what you were asking.
Yeah, I figured that was too obvious of a road to go down. So how do you get from, you know, remote control ended in, I think the early 90s or late 80s. And then how do you get from there to Saturday Night Live? What's kind of that in between process?
Oh, wait, hold on one second. Cause I'm at the Apple store.
Yeah, no problem.
Hold on. Hey,
how's your name? Shut down. The operating system shut down yesterday. Now the whole thing won't
pop. Yeah. Hello, my computer just shut down on me. You want to call you back? Can I call you back in a little while?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Can we do it again? We'll do it again.
Yeah, I'm good. I told Meredith, I'm literally free all day, so no problem.
Oh, good. I'll call you in a few minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
We'll see you. All right, so, you know, kind of take us to that point where, you know, the remote control ends and you get a few minutes in between and... sorry, not a few minutes. I got distracted. There was an announcement going on in my building. I'll start that over real quick. So yeah, take us to, you know, the remote control is ending and then there's a 5-year period or however long it was till Saturday Night Live starts. How did that, what was going on during then and how did you get into Saturday Night Live eventually?
I had to, I just kind of, I was doing a lot of, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote for a while on Living Color. I had a lot of like bad, a couple of bad years in there, you know.
Oh yeah.
Where it was kind of a dead time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then you got on to SNL as did you go straight in as the host or were you a player first?
No, I went in as a writer. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then how'd you get into the news job?
What's that now?
How'd you get into the news desk after after Norm? After
I got in because he was gone and I was already doing stuff like that.
Okay.
So like they knew I would do it if they asked me. You know?
Yeah, of course.
You know, the stand-up comedians were more like somebody who could kind of do it, you know, for better or for worse, where the guys are like, yeah, I'll do it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you got into, you know, these last few years where you've had Long Story Short, which I actually saw here in Philly a few years back, and Unconstitutional, how did you kind of get to that point? Like, what made you want to do more of, you know, that historical style, I don't know.
Well, you know, because stand-up is very, stand-up to me is great, but it's also... straight stand-up is kind of a, it's limiting after a while. It feels like a younger kind of, you know, sex-oriented stuff a lot of times. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's like, it's not for me. You know what I mean? Like, I love stand-up, but I like doing it. I like talking about other stuff.
Yeah.
I like talking about subjects that are, you know, that are interesting, you know, in a different way, you know?
Of course, of course. How did, I was always curious with the role on Girls. Obviously, you're from Brooklyn and everything, so it made a lot of sense. But how did that kind of come about, being the coffee shop owner?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's just kind of one of those things where they called me up to come in and do it. So I was like, yeah, all right.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Shoinery, luckily, so I knew it was a funny show. But
Right, of course.
Right.
Cool, and I know this is kind of going back. I kind of went through the timeline here, but how did kind of what happened with Tough Crowd like to cause it to be done? I guess for lack of a better term.
Well, there's a million things people could say, but I mean, my opinion is just my opinion, which was that it was too much for any people, you know, in the business to really handle.
Yeah.
My opinion is that the public didn't care. They were fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the industry was kind of offended by it.
Of course.
It was kind of a, you know, it was a rude show. And it was definitely not a show for, you know, people that have certain sensibilities. But, you know, that was it.
Yeah. And nowadays it would kind of fit the mold of like FXX. It seems like it would fit right in there, but.
Yeah.
Now, was that your favorite gig you've ever had?
Yeah, I loved it. I did love it, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. Cool. So, tell us about what's going on with your stand-up now. Is it more along the stand-up lines, or is it still? Are you still going into some of the historical
stuff? No, it's stand-up-y, but it's a little more thematic. I'm working towards a new show with it, so it is a little bit of that. But thanks. Thank you. But it's definitely more. It's definitely stand-up, you know.
Okay, cool. So everybody out there, go to heliumcomedy.com. Make sure you click on the Philadelphia link. There's a show tonight, and then there's two shows tomorrow night, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Two shows on Saturday. I believe they're sold out. Tommy Pope is opening for you. I know he's ridiculously funny, so I have no doubt they're going to be great shows. Best Twitter follow, you and Norm, I think, are the best two Twitter followers out there, so... make sure you follow him. You and Norm McDonald, I think, are the best two out there.
Oh, yeah, great. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. So at I am Colin Quinn, and then you can, I think that's the easiest way to find everything for you, right? I'm assuming.
Oh, totally.
Good deal. Colin, I really appreciate it. Kind of a quasi-stand-up comedian myself. It's definitely an honor to talk to you. It's been really cool. And you'll see the old producer of the podcast. He doesn't do it anymore, but he's coming to your show tonight, and I'm going to attempt to make it tomorrow, one of the shows tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Awesome. All right, cool. Say hello.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Colin, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.
One thing about music, when it hit, you feel no pain. White folks say control is your brain. I know Ben at this game, and we ready for that. Two soldiers head of the pack, matter of fact, who got the get, and where my army at? Rather attack than not react. Like the beats, it don't reflect on how many records get sold. On shakes, drugs, and rock and roll. Whether your project's put on hold in the real world. These just people with ideas. They just like me and you. When a smoking camera disappear again, the real world is bigger than all these fake ass records. When poor folks got the millions and my woman's disrespected. If you check 1-2, my word of advice to you is just relax. Just do what you got to do. If that don't work, then kick the facts. If you a fighter, ride a ladder, flame igniter, crowd exciter, or you wanna just get high, then just say it. But then if you a liar, liar, pants on fire, wolf cry, agent with a why, I'm gonna know it when I play it. It's bigger than hip hop, hip hop. Hip hop, it's bigger than hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. Who shot Biggie Smalls? If we don't get them, they gon' get us all. I'm down for run up on them crackers in they city hall. We ride for y'all and all my dogs stay real. Don't think these record deals gon' feed your seeds and pay your bills, because they not. MCs get a little bit love and think they hot. Talk about how much money they got. All your records sound the same. I'm sick of the thick thug R&B reps and are all day on the radio. Same scenes in the video, monotonous material. Y'all don't hear me though. These record labels slang our tapes like dope. You could be next in line of sound or still be writing rhymes or broke. Rather have a Lexus or justice, a dream or some substance, a beamer, a necklace of freedom. A girl like me don't play hate, I just stay awake. This real hip hop and it don't stop till we get the popo off the block. They call it hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 74. I'm already going to say Joe Staley, just to throw it out there. I already did it in the intro, but Shelton wasn't here for it.
Yeah, I didn't get to get that one. Phenomenal 74.
Yeah, one of the best. One of the best. I think he was nominated for an Oscar over the guy from Selma, too.
He probably did.
Apparently it was only white people.
That's right. Was it Christopher Waltz, whatever, was the only one from Django.
Yeah, yeah.
To be nominated. It's like the only white guy in the movie.
The whitest possible guy, too.
We're going to do a slave movie, but we're going to do the white guy in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, first off, we want to thank Colin Quinn. That was awesome to talk to him. He was in the Apple store. I didn't even edit it out. He, like, had to he had to go because the guy with the iGenius or whatever was going to fix his Mac. It was pretty funny. He's like, all right, I got to run. Then he came back. He had some good stories, though. It was his career was pretty cool. I forgot like how long it was. It's like 87.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around forever, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, Remote Control started in 87.
Yeah, Remote Control, that's probably, like, what, 89,
88?
87 to 90,
yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd already been doing stand-up for a while after that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, he had some cool story. He was on The Cosby Show. That was the best part about it. I saw it on his Wikipedia, and I was like, I gotta ask, man. And he's just like, I didn't have any cappuccinos with him, all right. I really just wanted to do a really bad Colin impression the entire time when I was on the phone.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
Yeah. All right.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Cut this.
Going back to Brooklyn. That's the intro song to him, by the way.
Nice. One of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Once I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, this is so bad.
It was terrible.
Funny back then.
Going back to Cali was terrible, so you knew going back to Brooklyn had to be terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It's like LL, I know he like blew up and he was the man back then, but he had some really like dog shit, like really
was
bad.
No different than Fresh Prince. It just was the time. It worked for the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At least like Fresh Prince, like his initial song, like the whatever it was, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I guess was the song, or French,
oh, yeah,
French
yeah,
Prince of Bel-Air, some people call it. But he at least like that had like a flow to it to an extent. You can give Jazzy Jeff most of the credit for that, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a bad rapper per se. It was just his stuff was just so kitschy and corny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't even know where to begin. It's just like I went down this wormhole of old rap, and I was like, wow, there's some really, really bad stuff back then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 80s bands got all this shit for being horrible, and they were horrible. Don't get me wrong, but like 80s rap never really got the same. I think people were just scared to say it.
Well, now I think the shit now is actually going to make that look good compared to what's out now, because the shit that's out now is terrible. That'll make Fresh Prince look like, goddamn Tupac.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody can sing and rap at the same time, and that's all you have to do to make it. That's the secret.
Terrible.
Meanwhile, what's his name? Freaking Houdini was doing that 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I blame Canadians. Drake fucked it up for everybody.
Yeah, Canadians shouldn't be allowed to rap. That should just be real. Except for Snow, of course. He's the exception.
Yeah, of course. But he's the informer, so he technically was a snitch.
It's like Jay's favorite musician, by the way. The problem was, and I know where he's coming from, because I say the same thing about Jamiroquai, but like it was just the wrong song hit the radio. Like, yes, he blew up because of it, but he was actually like kind of good. Jamiroquai was the same way. If you listen to his old stuff, it's very Stevie Wonder-like. But
yeah, he's actually not a bad artist. It's just... It was so, again, kitschy again. You know, he had his little video, and that's all you remember about him.
Right, exactly. You're like, isn't that stupid video where he's, like, going back and forth on the escalators or whatever?
Yeah. Yep.
He's got that.
I remember, the
huge hat.
The piano chords, but I don't remember the actual words.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he had some stupid hat on. And then he did it for, like, the VMAs or something like that. He had the same thing, and you're like, dude, come on. Just play another one. You got some other good songs. So we're back. It's been about a month, which is crazy. It might even be more than that. So a lot's gone on. We got like coaching changes. We got West Point grads that are playing in the NFL that are raping people, apparently.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's, you rape people at West Point, you rape people in the NFL. I mean, come on.
My brother went there, and I always have to, like, anytime something happens to a West Point person, I have to, like, ask him for his opinion. Like, he knows some guy.
Like,
it'll
all be all.
The guy graduated, like, literally, like, 16 years after my brother graduated, and he didn't even play the same sport or anything. Like, somehow he knows him.
But, you know, he's got something to say, man.
Just, yeah, it's like the equivalent of me being like, so what do you think of Ray Rice? You think, see him at the family picnic this summer? Are you going to get to talk to him?
He's gonna be back, yeah. Yeah. He told me he was. Him and Adrian are good.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in a good place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it just depends on how you're brought up, how you feel about that stuff. Well, maybe if you're like at home, that's something. But when you're in the national spotlight, so we got Rex is coaching the Bills.
That's probably the right place for him to go to.
Yeah, I was, who did I think they were going to get, though? I thought they were going to go in a different, I thought Rex was going to go to Atlanta for sure. That's what I thought. Like, even seemed like a slam dunk, but.
Well, no, I mean, the thing is, he doesn't have an offensive mind. So, going to a defensive team right now, especially one with a low profile that he actually becomes the face while they screw up all the picks. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
no one cares about who plays in Buffalo. All they care about, it's going to be Rex Ryan's mouth.
It's like, hey, can we get that quarterback from Florida State in the second round? Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll trade up for him instead.
Yeah. Didn't we get the other quarterback in Florida State? Why don't we get the new one who rapes girls and yells?
Exactly. He'll fit right in. My favorite all-time favorite pick that they ever had, the Bills, is it was Sam Moshe's doing, too. So they traded up. Everybody knows they drafted J.P. Lozman or anybody that pays attention. But they traded up because they were worried somebody was going to pick him. So they traded up to like 10 to get in front of Pittsburgh, who drafted Ben Roethlisberger with the 11th pick.
Exactly. But they ended up giving like two picks up too.
Yeah, but that was the best part. It was like, nope, like you could have like waited till the next year's friggin' supplemental draft to get in.
You wouldn't even have been in the next year's draft in the first five rounds.
I know. It was like, Tulane, really? Like, has it ever happened where the guys come out of, like, outside of Romo, probably the one exception, like, who's come out of a absolute no-name school and became a star, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it just remember, who was the one that they were going to go with? It was the year Brady was drafted. Druckenmiller.
Oh, yeah. He was the future.
He was going to be the next star in San Francisco. Remember, and they picked him in, like, the second round, third round. And then you got Tom Brady in the sixth round, so it's a crapshoot, man. Hey,
people were big on Druckenmiller, man. I remember.
Oh yeah, they loved him, and they were like, "Oh, he's huge. He's got a big arm." Now he has an alpaca farm.
Yeah, exactly. And good for him. That's what I say. I have alpaca fur. It's total white people problems, but I have alpaca fur freaking headband that I wear to work.
Nice. That sounds warm.
Very white and very warm.
It is. Yeah. I've never met any black people who's like, yeah, I got alpaca.
Right. unless you can put it on your shoes somehow, then it'd be.
Yeah, we gotta put it around our ankles. Then it'd be nice and warm.
Them those new alpaca shits, damn, dog.
That's the new alpaca Jordan, dog.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't wear them. You crazy?
They shit in my closet.
Just lying up. Lying around the block at the Adidas store for those things. And I was trying to bring up that example at a work thing. I can't really get too into it just because I don't want to give away anything about what I do for work. But it was like the idea that stores have gone away, and then like look at an iPhone or an Apple store the day an iPhone is released. It's the stores are, or people are wrapped around the block. It's like stores haven't gone away. It's just the concept of how the store works. And I brought up the shoe store thing, but I was like, and anybody could go. It doesn't have to be just a specific race. Because I was at a corporate thing, so I had to be very PC about what I was saying.
Exactly. A lot of people buy shoes.
Exactly.
They like these sneakers.
We all love sneakers, you know?
We all love sneakers, and we know about it.
So, we'll get to Del Rio in a second, but some dipshit defensive line coach is taking over for Harbaugh.
You know, it has to be some really smart owner who I don't know who owns them anymore, but he has to be like, well, he's worked under him, so he'll know his concept, and that's so far from the truth.
It's
such a bad pick.
Yeah, exactly. And first off, like, their problem was is they had a bunch of injuries and their offense sucked. Like, you don't move the defensive line coach.
Exactly.
Like, and then
it's like when the Eagles promoted Castillo from the offensive line to be the defensive coordinator. Like, really? That's what we're going to go with?
Yeah. That was the best thing. It was like, well, he's never played defense, like, ever, right? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's
the dude's perfect. Never been in a defensive meeting, never played defense, but we're going to go with him, right?
Yeah, and we're going to, like, throw in this, whatever that friggin' nine down or whatever the hell that defense was.
Yeah, wide nine.
Yeah, wide nine. Yeah, like, we'll throw that in the mix, too, because that shouldn't complicate things either.
Yeah,
you know?
Not at all. It's going to help them out.
Every defensive player is in the friggin' like they're about to run a sprint when they get down on all fours.
And they're like 9 yards off the side of the sideline, so they're like completely out of play from the beginning.
Yeah, if the Raiders made it to 3 straight AFC championships into the Super Bowl one of those years and lost, they kind of did that with Gruden, I guess. So I can't really say I would lose my shit. I would lose my shit if they did that now, but I still would do it then. I mean, there was like I rooted for them against the Bucks, but there was a part of me that was kind of like, well, good. That's what you get. You know,
I mean, you trade your coach for draft picks. How stupid can you be? I mean, that's my thing. Then it's not even like you bring in a coach who's going to change the entire concept. You brought in a coach who really had no experience and really was like, hey, I'm going to pick you, but exactly what the other guy did.
Yeah, exactly. The friggin' he just got signed by the Redskins, by the way, to Bill Callahan. Because he was offensive coordinator at the Cowboys, and he was making play calls for 1 year, and they were like, nah, we're good.
Is he even around anymore?
Yeah, he just got signed today by the Redskins. So offensive line coach or something weird. Or maybe defensive line.
He's been out of football for like 2 years because he was at Nebraska.
Yeah, and then he was with the Cowboys, and they were doing...
I knew with the Cowboys.
I only knew because the article, because apparently he got a really good deal with the Redskins, which is weird. Like, they didn't... I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, the thing is about most of these assistant coaches, a lot of them are good or great assistant coaches. They're just not head coach material.
Right, right.
You can't make a guy like Callahan head coach material. I don't even think Fox or Del Rio are head coach material.
No, not at all. No, no.
I mean, John Fox had... He had Peyton Manning and all those weapons, and then, you know, they couldn't even score in the Super Bowl. So then they gut the defense and let go of some of the offense, and they get him a running back, and he still can't win.
Right, right. Anything with it. So, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many examples. Every once in a while, you hit with somebody, but most of the time, it does not work out at all. Rex Ryan's a great example, actually, for that matter. And Marvin Lewis, both Baltimore guys.
Yeah, I actually think Caldwell's going to be the same way, because he went to the Super Bowl with Dungy's team, and then, you know, he shit the bed there, he lost there, and then he goes to Baltimore and turns fucking Flacco into superstar at the end of the season. He turned them around, and they end up winning the Super Bowl with him, and now he's in Detroit, and he's got one of the best offenses in the history of the game, and he can't do shit with them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like the Falcons, if they don't get Quinn from Seattle, they're going to get both the offensive coordinator and somebody else offensive related from Detroit, or maybe the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator. I don't know. They're probably going to get them both though. So then he's totally on his own. Like, hey, guys, a little help.
Can I get someone back?
Yeah, the Fox thing like wasn't it made sense, but it was one of those things where it's like you really are like, okay, we've kind of done pretty well, like 3 straight years or 4 straight.
Yeah.
And he did. I give him credit for like the Tebow years. I actually think he made the right decision by like sticking with Tebow and just riding it, knowing it had a ceiling.
Well, he had that 1 year with Tebow, and then the next year he gets Peyton. And I'll give you 4 wins tops without Peyton that you did it.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. But otherwise, it was all Manning. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they proved it at the end of the year that they couldn't come up with a good enough game plan. You blame the offensive coordinator, blame whoever you want, but yeah.
Yeah.
And I agree. Like, when they hired Fox initially, I was like, all right, whatever. They didn't have anybody there. I mean, the team.
Yeah.
It was,
they had no players.
Josh McDaniels pretty much ruined that team, but
yeah, he did. He gutted. He drafted terribly, and he pretty much gutted the free agents. So.
Yeah, not that like Cutler is anything now, but he was playing really well then, and Josh McDaniels basically came in and said, get out. And that was. Yeah, I don't understand that one at all.
Do you really want a quarterback who's close to the same age as you, and you're like, he's like looking down at you like, really, you're my coach?
I know, seriously. Well, that's what was crazy when he got there. I was like, And, you know, you watch the first couple of weeks and you're like, he's throwing like 5 touchdowns a game and he's just running the offense. And it looks exactly like it did in Indianapolis, more or less, except he's actually got better wide receivers this time. And I was like, just thinking like, John Fox? That can't be John Fox. That's Peyton must have just came in and said, here's what we're doing.
Peyton Fry came in and was like, I'm going to give you the exact same offense that Dungy gave me. And I'm going to tell you how I'm going to run it. And then what you're going to do is run the defense. Okay, let's
break. Yeah, exactly. Here's the deal. I can go to John Elway right now and say, I want you fired, or... Yeah.
You have no job stability as long as I'm quarterback.
what else happened? So Fox is gone. Quinn's probably going to be in Atlanta. I think that one will actually work out as long as they need somebody like Tressel as the offensive coordinator, though. They need somebody smart on the front side. So Mel Kiper's mock draft came out. Apparently, he knows everything.
Yeah, that dude's terrible.
Yeah, he has He has the Raiders drafting Amari Cooper. I think it's just too obvious. That's why I don't.
He just has the Mariota at 1 and all the other dumb crap.
Nah, he flipped it. He's got Winston at 1, Mariota at 2.
I'm surprised he has Winston at 1 because I'm not because Tampa Bay's going, so he's probably feeding the black. Black coach, you're going to want a black quarterback.
Well, it's all Florida, too, you know.
Yeah, Mel Kiper's that dude.
If anybody's going to embrace somebody who's a hot mess off the field, it's something in Florida.
Oh, yeah, Tampa would love him. He'd be at the strip clubs and Ruth Chris every night.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Ruth Chris. Well, steak well done. Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Well done for me.
It's like, hey, Jameis, you don't have to steal the crab legs. We got you. Don't worry.
You can have those. You're a quarterback now. Right. You've got like a doggy bag trying to stuff them in there.
It's like, dude, did you see your contract? Or
You know you can afford crab legs now. I don't want you to.
But apparently Cardale Jones is going to make up his mind right now.
If I was him, I'd go.
His stock would never be higher. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd pull the trigger because they have very little film to pull you apart. You go and have a hell of a showing at pro day. Your draft stock can only rise because you're the mystery guy. Mariota's got to go down because he didn't play well against you.
Yeah.
At the very least, I mean, now they have the slotted positions where the money's going to go anyway. At the very least, he'll get picked in the second round. He's not a stretch in the second round. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's a big dude. You know, as long as he can learn the offense, which he clearly can. And if you remember, he's the one actually who came up with the famous quote on Twitter. I didn't come to school to play. I didn't come to Ohio State to play no school.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So, I love that line. So true.
It is true. I applaud the kid because he clearly didn't need to play no school.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He should have been playing football.
I just realized I've been clicking on my mouse a bunch, which is going to be annoying in the recording, but it's like right next to where we're recording. Yeah, so I think he'll be next to Matt Cassel, the only person drafted. That's the only person that's been drafted with fewer starts.
Fewer starts, yeah.
Because Adrian McPherson, DJ Shock.
At least his drive and his moxie. I mean, the dude just won 3 of the biggest games in Ohio State history.
Well, he's got the right tools. He's a big dude, and he's not a running quarterback, even though everybody's automatically going to compare him to Michael Vick, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is you put him, give him to a team like actually, you know what, if I was Detroit, I'd pull the trigger with him because you've got the players there who are kind of on their last legs if you don't get a guy in there who can do something. Stafford's clearly not the answer. Or Atlanta, you've got the tools there, too.
Yeah, I think they're gonna give Matty Ice a little bit more time, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Cardale Jones isn't gonna come in and start right away. So even if you put him on the bench behind Ryan for 2 years, he's still gotta learn the system.
The Bills, he's perfect for the Bills.
You got
Bills,
Julio
actually.
Jones. You still got White. You got to get a running back for him.
Yeah, well, the other dude's solid. Not Jackson, but the other guy that he played really well this year. I forgot his name. Not Jaquizz, but not Jackson, but there was a third guy who actually.
Oh yeah, he's a running back. Yeah, the young kid, Devontae something. Like,
there you go.
But that's the thing is like with the quarterbacks, everyone should be looking at fucking Seattle because they did it the right way. They had the defense, they had the offensive line, they had the running back, and then they went and got a decent quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the key piece is you got to get a coach that ruins a university and then leaves.
Well, yeah, Well, no, that's not working for Philly.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, they're gonna trade the house for Mariota. That's what everybody thinks.
So. I really think he is, dude. I really think, I think that the person who's sitting pretty right now is Roseman because.
Oh yeah.
He's gonna be able to say, "I told you so."
Well, like
he'll have his job.
They can't sit there and say that Marcus Smith was 100% Roseman. Like, yes, he was a horrible pick, and Mel Kiper shit on it the second it happened.
Yeah.
But like Chip Kelly's the one who signs that piece of paper and hands it over. There's no way he didn't say, like, "Look, we got. I don't care. We because he. I mean, the one thing I'll give Chip is he did kind of not say great things about him right off the bat, but still, yeah, it's not like.
Here's my thing. If I was Kelly and I sold my defense last year, I would have stood on a table to go get Clinton, Clinton Dix.
Yeah, exactly.
We needed a safety. You got a prototype safety from Alabama who's a proven winner.
Yeah.
He's in the top. Even if he slid to 15, at that point I'm like, trade the first pick so we can get this kid. I would have slid up to 20 or even 18 to get that kid. Trade something to slide down, get that kid, and then trade back out of the second round because your second round pick was just as shitty as your first round.
Yeah, he was the only guy that actually kind of worked out. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Jordan Matthews was the only one that was actually, like, the decent pick of the draft. But I agree with you, generally speaking. And the funny thing is Roseman actually had a really good draft 2 years ago. So he actually has some, you know, like Fletcher Cox and the other guy who plays linebacker. I always forget his name.
I mean, I think Lurie and Roseman have a little bit closer relationship than most people think. And I think this is Lurie basically telling Chip Kelly, you're on the clock now. Do something with this, or you're going to be gone.
Yeah,
I mean, like, because it's a shit or get off the pot situation now because his innovative offense isn't doing shit, and you know, it's either now he picks his own players, so now he can't blame anybody if it doesn't work out, except for himself.
Yeah, exactly. And the only thing positive for him is if it is true about Winston, he might not have to totally give up the house, depending on how Tennessee feels about Mariota and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants Mariota in the top eight. I think that Tennessee needs bodies, the Raiders need bodies, Cleveland needs bodies. So in the top eight, you're looking at probably most of the people who, except for Tampa, won't go for a quarterback. I think they're going to go for either trading down or they're going to go for like a stud pick at a different position.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hoping the Raiders trade down, get some linemen, and then pick up Gurley from Georgia.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. I mean, they
Gurley and Carr, and then pick up a tight end and some linemen. And they'd have a solid offense.
Yeah, because they could trade down to like 10 and get that kid from Louisville as a wide receiver, and then get Gurley because Melvin Gordon's not even expected to be top 20, so Gurley will probably go in the second round.
Yep.
And then that would be nice.
Yeah, and then I mean,
Maurice Jones-Drew and Darren McFadden are really running the show, but they could probably use some help. These guys were so bad.
I mean, plus with him tearing the ACL, they're gonna have questions about him. He's gonna flip out a lot of people's minds. And If they played it right and got some bodies, because they don't need much on defense. Their defense was good.
Yeah, exactly. And their offense is just a wide receiver and a running back away from being good.
Yeah, I mean the tight end actually wasn't bad. So I'd try to shore it up with another, you know, maybe a blocking tight end, and then go get a receiver out of somewhere who can you can polish him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Get Gurley at running back. I mean the dude is 6'3" and 220.
Yeah, he's a beast. So,
I mean,
and his stock's low, which is awesome.
Yeah, I would do it, man. I would trade down.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Because that dude, I think that dude from Louisville, I keep forgetting his name, the wide receiver, he's actually bigger than Cooper. And a lot of people think he'll actually be better, but most people don't have him to pick to 12 or 13. So if they traded down and still got him, that would be sweet.
Yeah, it would be a nice pickup.
By the way, you'd be proud to know that legendary fullback Greg Jones has signed a one-day contract with the Jaguars, so they can retire as a Jaguar.
Good pickup. That's
football news, or fullback news for you right there.
Fullback news right there, yeah. He's a legendary one.
We're doing all right here for time. Who you got this weekend?
This weekend, I got to say Seattle, and then I'm going to go, because I hate Tom Brady, I got to go to Indianapolis.
So...
Plus, I think that it would be one hell of a lead-up with Russell Wilson versus Andrew Luck.
That would be fun.
you got the what, fifth rounder versus the first rounder?
Yeah, I think he was like third, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would be sweet. Eagles picked Nick Foles before Russell Wilson, in case anybody's counting.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? The last person to beat Manning and then beat Brady and then win a Super Bowl was?
Roethlisberger?
Oh, you're close.
Flacco. Fuck out of here.
You were very close, too. Same brain capacity, exactly. Same horrible, inconsistent play.
Yeah, terrible play and completely given way too much credit for the wins. There's a dude who was trying to argue with me that Torrey Smith didn't go for the ball on that last play, right? So you're looking at double coverage, number one, on Torrey Smith,
yeah.
the safety over the top and the corner going with him. And so then he comes back a couple hours later, and on that interception that Cam Newton threw that Kelvin Benjamin didn't go for, and it went right to the dude's hand, it was Cam Newton's fault. I was like, come on, dude. Yeah. You were looking at the same exact play except for one receiver double covered, and one guy literally just gave up on the play.
Right, exactly.
And you're telling me that because Flacco is the greatest fucking UD blue hen bullshit. Come on.
Well, he ran the read option anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, come on, man.
Like, so first off, like, if you blame the game, like, nobody's blaming the game on him. He threw four touchdowns and, like, 380 yards. Obviously, cover Gronkowski. That's all you have to do. But, you know, it's not exactly brain surgery to beat the Patriots. And that's new.
Double cover Gronkowski and then figure out the names of the other receivers because you don't even know them.
Right, exactly. It's hilarious. What was I going to say? The other thing I found out, this was, I forgot who played on the Eagles, but he knew, he was good friends with one of Flacco's teammates at UD.
Yeah.
And he explained why Flacco's so good in the playoffs as opposed to the regular season. And he doesn't study playbooks at all, like, or the opposing team. But when playoffs hit, just like when they had any big games at UD, any of their big games at UD, he stepped up and played great. It was because he was like, oh, I probably should take this seriously now.
On top of that, like, I mean, you can see it clearly. Like, and the dude was trying to tell me that when he won the Super Bowl, his defense, they had no defense. You still had Ed Reed back there. You still had Terrell Suggs. You still had Elodie Nata. You still had Ray Lewis, even though he's on his third, you know, running out of a leg, whatever. You still had leaders on that team. He's not a leader. So right now, they're just playing willy-nilly. He's like, oh, well, he had Anquan Boldin. You think Anquan Boldin's a better receiver than Torrey Smith as a threat? No. But he's a better blanket. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Mm.
But other than that, you had nobody. You had Ray Rice in the backfield.
Yeah.
But if you can give credit when he wins, then you need to realize he's got to take the blame when he loses. I mean, it's a quarterback shot. I mean, the running back, what was his name? Forsett had 129 yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he did, like I said, he threw four touchdowns and 380 yards. It's not like he didn't. Yeah. It's not like he didn't show up. He just, you know, like when the big play happened, all he needed to do was get, you know, play it smart. He didn't need to throw up a bomb over a minute left in the game. I mean, that was But like, and the other thing is, he would have gone to like arguably back to back Super Bowls if Lee Evans could catch the ball. You know,
just like, and that's the thing. And that one wasn't his fault.
Right.
But by the same token, he threw an interception right after half when they were driving, and then he threw an interception at the end of the game when they were driving. So those two have to be put squarely on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, they were terrible throws into double coverage. I mean, and like I said, I hate the shit out of Flacco. I'll be the first to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Watch Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Tom Brady. They don't make those throws.
Yeah, exactly.
They check down to the safe bet, and then they keep playing. You know what I mean? Instead of trying to be super gunslinger. But he, like you said, and you know, it's funny, Chris Collinsworth said it best. He's like Eli Manning in the playoffs. He just does what he has to do because he has no emotion or something like that. But I'm thinking, like, because he's an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're both just idiots. Like, they don't realize the magnitude of the game, but they also don't realize they're professional quarterbacks. They're just idiots with big arms.
Exactly.
God,
oh yeah, I love it. So cool. So we'll somewhat wrap up. You see, Woody Allen's got his own show coming out on his first original show. Now he gets off scot-free, but Bill Cosby's the worst person in the world, huh?
Yeah, It's funny. Someone else said that too, and it's the crazy part about it is like, what are you gonna do? Everyone loves Woody Allen because of his movies.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby had the one thing, and I think, you know, what Hannibal Buress said was correct. You know, if he didn't come down so hard on the black kids and say so much shit about, you know, black culture now,
mm-hmm.
he probably would have gotten a pass with yeah. most people. But because he tries to stay on, Woody Allen doesn't stand on his fucking soapbox.
No, not at all.
That dude, he goes and he does what he's supposed to do, and then he, you know, molests children.
His stepdaughter. You know, who's counting now? Like,
yeah.
All right, cool. So I'm calling mostly just because I want to see it. Packers, Patriots.
Yeah.
I'm calling the opposite of what you're calling, but I think realistically, if anybody's going to get the upset, it's going to be the Colts, but I'm still calling. You know what it is the Patriots are being, they're doing the same thing they did before the Super Bowl against the Giants the first time around when they were undefeated.
Yeah.
They were goofing off at the press conference, like Brady wore the Belichick look at the press conference. He had the cut-off sleeved hoodie. And they were, you know, I don't know if you remember when Brady was kind of hurt before when they were undefeated that year.
Yeah.
And they were like, Wes Welker was joking about how he's going to be the starting quarterback, and everybody was kind of being very, like, jokey, and they lost. And I feel like that's what they're setting themselves up for. They're almost being a little bit on the arrogant side.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little worried about that one, but we'll see. I would like to see Rodgers and Brady go up against each other. I feel like this year might be the best chance. Yeah, cause
the only problem is Rodgers, well, they did say his injury would heal by the Super Bowl if he made it. But yeah. I just think that the Seahawks realize they're on a small window because Russell Wilson's going to get paid,
mm-hmm.
and you got to pay Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he's leaving, it sounds like.
And then you got defensive players who are going to have to get paid. You can't keep that team together for anything past this year. And the crazy part about it is, like, I was telling someone the other day, that you know what they should do is they should start making an exemption for the quarterbacks. If you have a quarterback that's been there for, like, 3 years or longer, the quarterback should be exempt of the salary cap because your quarterback's your $100 million guy, no matter what.
Yeah, that's true.
It counts like a third against your salary cap.
Yeah, instead, people like Brady and Roethlisberger and a few other quarterbacks, they take huge. I mean, not that they're going to, like, not make money, but, you know, Brady's going to make $8 million next year. Peyton's going to make $19 million.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. Like, and it's because he wants the team to be better and he's willing to sacrifice. Exactly. You know?
And that's the thing is, like, you have the quarterback is such a huge hit on your number. You got to. I think they need to change that because a team like Seattle should be able to run the table for the next 4 years. You know, if everyone's healthy, they should be able to run the table, you know, with Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, but they're not going to be able to because Wilson's going to get paid off of that.
Yeah, and then you got Cam Chancellor and what's his name, the middle linebacker. Those guys are freaking ridiculous, man. Those guys.
Irwin?
No, who is it, 54? The guy who's hurt part of the year.
Yeah, I thought it was Irwin. I can't remember his name now.
No, I can't believe I can't think of his name. Anyway. Cool. So we'll wrap things up. We got actually a lot of time in here. I'm impressed. We might make it to an hour. Cool, man. Well, we'll get together next week or we'll do this again. I don't even mind doing this. It was actually kind of easy.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. Well, that's episode 74. Joe Staley. I don't know who else. I feel like there's a lot of left tackles that have that number, but
yeah, it's just maybe Jonathan Martin.
there you go, or the other guy, incognito.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for any Colin Quinn fans that actually stuck around through all the sports talk.
Going back to Brooklyn.
Yeah. All right, for Shelton and myself, Patrick, we thank you guys for listening in and keep subscribing and all that good stuff. Go to the website, click on the Amazon link when you're shopping through Amazon. We love you very much, and we'll see you all next week.
So pleasant about that face. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. When you're out there without care, I was out of touch. It wasn't because I didn't know enough.
might make me crazy. Doesn't that make me crazy? Doesn't that make me crazy? Probably. And I hope that you are having the time of your life. Oh, but think twice. That's my only advice. Come on now, who do you think you are? Oh, oh, bless your soul. Do you really think that you're in control? Well, I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. Just like me. My heroes have the heart to lose their lives out on a limb. And all I remember is thinking I wanna be like them. Ever since I was little, it looked like fun. And it's no coincidence that I've come. I can die when I'm done. Baby, I'm